We begin with the letter from the editor. Welcome to the September edition of the magazine. We are beginning to leave behind a summer which will long linger in our memories. There were a couple of months with very pleasant sunshine. There was also a number of weeks with baking sun and extremely high temperatures. The gardens had to be watered daily, and even at that, the plants, shrubs and grass sometimes looked as if in shock with the constant heat. As is our lot in the west of Scotland, in the midst of this wonderful weather, one morning we woke to a really wild day. The wind was gusting to over 50 miles an hour. The trees, with their heavy summer foliage, were scattering their leaves all over the garden. The hanging baskets looked as if they were about to take flight and fly. The lovely annuals, looking better than I can remember, were struggling to keep upright and to hold on to their flower heads. It was the kind of wind that whirls and pummels you front and back. But as happens, the garden quickly recovered both from the drought and from the wind and rain. Now there is another enemy attacking on all fronts. There are aphids on the roses and bedding plants, caterpillars munching voraciously at the geraniums, and slugs and snails playing havoc with the perennials. But this will be short-lived. Sometimes we can be downhearted as individuals and as a community by what is happening round us. I take some consolation from working in the garden in realising that come another season, there will probably be a different set of challenges for me to face.
And now a letter from the minister. Dear friends, during summer mission week, one of the songs we used with the children was "The Wise Man Built His House Upon the Rock," hearing of wisdom of building on the rock so that when the rains and floods came, the house would not be destroyed, unlike the house built on the sand, which was swept away. It's one of those songs which, whilst a children's song, is profoundly true and possibly even prophetic. The house of God, which is built in the word of the one true God, is indeed built in rock, which will withstand the storms, rains and floods of a changing world, because it can change to the culture trends without losing the one thing which makes it different, the word of the one true God. However, what we see in church now comes from years and years of inactivity to build on the word of God. Maybe it's been complacency. God is always with us, we don't need to do anything more, but then all you have to do is look at the complacency of the Old Testament Israelites to see that complacency doesn't develop a relationship with God. Maybe it's because we've been thinking clubhouse instead of house of God, and all we need is more members and more attractive events and things to do to attract more members. But here's the reality. The Church of Scotland is struggling. It is in decline, a reality that we have closed our eyes to for decades. I could quote statistics, but I don't think there's any point. All you have to do on a Sunday morning is look around you in the church, or maybe look at the list of vacant charges on the Church of Scotland website. There aren't enough ministers, and that number will fall rapidly over the next 5 to 10 years. The answer is not to get more ministers, because they're just not there. The number of members is declining rapidly and has been for years, but society has changed and the focus of the Sunday morning worship is on its last legs. The General Assembly in May this year threw out a strategic plan for growth on the basis that it was looking over the next 10 years. Instead, there was a call and agreement that next year the General Assembly would see something looking at the next 3 years. There was talk of radical, creative, imaginative, robust restructuring fit for purpose. There was talk of a radical and fundamental change of an institution which does it this way. These are difficult and changing times for us. If you're picking up a sense of urgency, then you're getting the picture. However, if you think that we've talked like this before and survived, then sorry, we won't survive because nobody did anything the last time. The Church Without Walls is a prime example, talking about change, about being missional, about not focusing building but people, and we missed it. We have not been here before. The decline I haven't mentioned yet is the financial one. The National Church doesn't have the financial resources to continue as we are. We can't afford the buildings, and we certainly can't afford to be sentimental about our buildings because they are being swept away now. The call from the Chairman of the General Trustees in May was for well-equipped spaces in the right places. Churches need to be multifunctional and used throughout the week, the whole building and not just the halls. We need to lose buildings and look at mission and not heritage. If you're still not convinced, have you read the Treasurer's Report? As two congregations link together and looking at union, we are in massive difficulties, buildings, finance and people. If you think that's not so, then continue to do so and watch it all disappear. I should add that no Church of Scotland building is safe. For too many years, too many members have thought that the church will see them out, and that's added to the decline. What would have happened if too many people of previous generations had thought that? What is it that we're leaving for our younger generations, and why aren't they in church anyway? We need to change, and we need to change now. I don't believe that God is finished with his people, and that we will continue to worship God. But how we do that, where we do that, and what we do will be different. It should have started years ago, but we need to do that now. I believe that the house built in the word of the one true God will survive. I believe that God is calling his people, you and I, to him and to change. We are of a reformed and reforming tradition. I believe there is still a need for church, but not as we know it. On the Saturday of Communion Sundays, the elders of both congregations meet in conference to look at the future, to look at being together and what that means. The shared services are another way of getting everyone together, and so is the importance of breaking bread together, being round the table, before, during or after a service. I believe that the ethos of Path of Renewal is right, looking at discipleship and mission for our own spiritual growth and for reaching out to others. I believe that there will be a Church of Scotland in Stevenson. It'll look different and it'll be different. What I do know is that if we don't do anything, then we might as well stop now. Friends, these are not threats. This is the reality in which we live. If our focus is on God and what he would have us do, we have nothing to fear. He is the one true God who led his people out of captivity to the promised land, and he's still doing that. It is difficult. Sometimes the past does look better, but let's follow God to see his promises. Every blessing to you all. Dave, your pastor.
Reformation Conference, bringing life, hope and healing to our communities. This is an exciting new initiative in which we invite our brothers and sisters in Christ to consider God's word to us in the run-up to Reformation Sunday. We have three accomplished speakers to consider discipleship, mission and leadership ministry issues. Each day will have a different theme, and we close the conference on Reformation Sunday with shared worship and then lunch and closing worship with our friends from the High Kirk. Tuesday the 25th of October at Ardeer Church at 2 p.m. and 7:30 p.m. we have the Reverend Alistair Purse speaking on discipleship. On Friday the 26th of October in Livingston Church at 2 p.m. and 7:30 p.m. Reverend Kenny Borthwick will look at leadership and ministry. On Saturday the 27th of October in Ardeer Church at 10:30 a.m. and 7:30 p.m. the Reverend Dr. Rob Barlow will look at mission. And on Sunday the 28th of October there is 10:30 shared worship at Ardeer Church, followed at 12:30 by lunch in the High Kirk Halls with closing worship. Entry will be free, but there will be an offering uplifting at the meetings to offset the costs of running the conference. Tickets will be available through Eventbrite website. We will need some volunteers to provide the usual refreshments, tea, coffee and biscuits.
And now a letter from Brian Murray. Well, we did it. With the help of your prayers, God's guidance and spirit, I have managed to get through the process leading to leadership in the Church of Scotland. Along the pathway, as we travelled together, there have been amazing experiences. The process, I feared, became a joyful learning experience with a fairly steep curve. From 2015, I've been a student at Aberdeen University studying Divinity through the Distance Learning Programme. That was an enjoyable time, speaking with fellow students online and embracing the learning process as part of the whole calling into the leadership. I had to attend many conferences in places around Scotland, including Houston House Hotel. I know, but someone has to go there. Mixing with and meeting up with other students on the road to readership was a highlight for me, and many lasting friendships were made. I have attended two other colleagues setting apart services in Prestwick and Lennoxtown already, and I await to hear how the others are doing. I've had the most enjoyable time learning on placement. Firstly, I attended St Guthbert's Parish Church on a discernment period of 6 months. I was privileged to work with the Reverend Arthur Sherritt, now sadly deceased, later with the Reverend Scott Cameron at the High Kirk in Stevenson, and just recently, the Reverend Dave Sutherland at Ardeer Livingston Linkcharge. All placements had their own challenges, but all the ministers I came in contact with showed me great respect and let me find myself and my style in preaching and delivery. With the placements, the academic side of things and the conferences, I have been steeped in learning and wonderful experiences, following my calling by God to get involved in my church. I had my final preaching assessment on the 24th of June at Ardeer Parish Church, and I am pleased to report that things went very well, and I passed. Nae bother. It's not over though, it's only the beginning. Having travelled a roadway with you all for some time now, it's time for God to open the doors where he wants me to place me next. This is so important in any calling in the faith, to be open to the leading of the Spirit. I decided early on to let God do what God wants with me. Despite my lack of confidence at times, I am still very sure God is working through me. I just pray that the fruit of that investment he has placed in me will be apparent as time goes on. You see, it's all about the body. St. Paul understood that all we need to support and encourage one another to keep unity in our churches, in our faith. The way was illustrated for us in Acts, when all the people of the way supported each other, making sure all were provided for. I feel that you all walked with me some of that road, and some will still walk with me as time goes by into new things. If anyone is feeling a calling into ministry, beyond the ministry, that all Christians are called into, please come and speak with me. I am open to hearing anyone who might want to follow me into leadership or any other ministry. If you feel that stirring won't let you go, and that constantly calls, that gentle touches your heart every day, and if you are feeling like you are fighting off something, friends, you are being asked to step out in faith for our Lord Jesus Christ. The road might seem long and daunting, but the minute you step onto it, the way becomes lit with excitement, learning, and experiences that at first might seem scary, but let me tell you, it is exhilarating. It is an awesome privilege to be used in any way by our Father God. He is the one who opens and closes the door as we walk in obedience. I await to see what lies behind the next door he will open for me. My setting apart service will be towards the end of September in West Kilbride Parish Church, and I hope to see as many of you as can be there. Thank you once again for your support and prayers. Your friend and brother in Jesus, Brian.
And now an item, from Mary Wilson called Small Change. What do you do with your small change? The Guild collects 5 pence pieces to send to UNICEF to provide rehydration sachets for ill children all over the world. I, on the other hand, collect 1 and 2 pence pieces for the Bible Society. Why not add your small change to either or both of these collections? And from Andrew Tomlinson, we have prayer thoughts for September. Occasionally, we hear the phrase, reasons to be cheerful. As I began to think about these prayer thoughts, it struck me that a bit of word substitution would not go wrong. So it did not seem too big a jump to begin with the modified phrase, reasons to be prayerful. As soon as that thought sank in, it was immediately followed by the obvious question, are there ever any reasons, any circumstances, when we should not be prayerful? Just to consider a few examples. We can pray in awe of our God and the wonderful and sometimes fearsome creation that is his. We can give thanks for the knowledge of that creation, which he reveals, and which gives rise to all of science, medicine, and engineering. We can praise God for the beauty we experience in the written and spoken word, art, and music. We can ask God for help for any of the difficulties we encounter, and on behalf of others. We can seek forgiveness for the times we have strayed from the path God has set before us. Above all, we can give thanks for the gift of Jesus and the Holy Spirit, as well as the Bible. In writing to Christians in Rome, chapter 12, verse 12, Paul says, "Be glad for all God is planning for you. Be patient in trouble and always be prayerful." Colossians chapter 4, verse 2 says, "Devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart." In answer to my own question, no, there are never any reasons, any circumstances when we should not be prayerful. Prayer is our permanent open line to God, and we should never let it fall into disuse. Themes. Approach. Come before God humbly, but in the knowledge you are there at His invitation. Confession. Ask forgiveness for the times when you have strayed from His path in thought, word or deed, and forgotten the calm that prayer can bring. Thanksgiving. Ministry. Give thanks for David Sutherland and his ministry with us. Summer Mission. Give thanks for the Summer Mission team and all their work, and for those who came along to the events. Pray that the seeds sown will be nourished. Communication. Give thanks for those who operate the systems that bring a new dimension to our Sunday worship and enable it to be shared by others. Brian Murray. Give thanks for the work done during his placement with us and for his successful completion of the Reader's Course. Intercession. The Stewardship Showcase. Pray for the success of the Stewardship Initiative. Schools. Pray for staff and pupils during the new term. Path of Renewal. Pray for us as we continue this journey and for a renewing of our personal discipleship. Hardship. Pray for those who, through illness or circumstances, are encountering hardship. Revival. Pray for a revival in faith across our town.
Andrew now expands on the Stewardship Showcase, which is on Tuesday, the 9th of October this year. We all know some of the things that happened because of our existence as a church in Stevenston. A few may be aware of almost all the organisations, events, pastoral work, outreach, etc., that take place under the Livingston Church banner. For them, the Stewardship Showcase will not be so much an information gathering experience, but instead a celebration. Already some readers might be asking themselves, what exactly is this showcase? Our showcase will be a one-evening event at which the work of the church and of those who use our halls will be on display for all to see. Each aspect will have a small display showing some of what is done. It promises to be a really informative event which will show the profile and impact Livingston Church has in the community. That profile and impact is underpinned by our stewardship, the care of our buildings, and of course our financial contributions. As part of the showcase, we will have the opportunity to learn about some of the costs involved. Arising out of that, we will also be encouraged to review our part in contributing to these costs. The review will be very much on a personal and hopefully prayerful basis, and could simply result in the decision that our current level of contribution is the best that we can do. On the other hand, some people might decide that it's possible to increase what they can give, which in turn might enable our church to make an even greater impact. Every member of the congregation will have an invitation to the event delivered by a visitor, so keep that date free and come along to be informed or to celebrate our church and its contribution to Christian witness in Stevenston. Remember, Tuesday evening, the 9th of October 2018, look out for your invitation. And please pray for the success of the event and a great evening of good fellowship.
Now from Dorothy Penno about the Guild. After the summer break, the Guild meetings will begin again on Tuesday the 11th of September at 1:30 p.m. in the Church Hall. A varied syllabus has been arranged to appeal to our existing members and any new members who would like to join our fellowship. More information will be available on our syllabus for this session on the evening of Tuesday the 9th of October, when anyone interested in the activities in the church throughout the week can come and view displays for organisations, and any questions raised will be answered.
The Shoebox Appeal 2018. A chat I had recently with one of our members who was recounting her great supermarket sweep for her shoeboxes in Poundworld reminded me of the need to order and collect the leaflets for this year's appeal. We now have the leaflets, which are available from the table in the vestibule. This year, our boxes will be collected at our harvest service on the 23rd of September. Thanks to everybody who contributed in any way to the shoebox appeal in 2017, enabling Blythswood to gather and distribute 115,932 shoeboxes. The shoeboxes received last year were distributed in Albania, Bulgaria, Hungary, Kosovo, Moldova, Pakistan, Romania, Serbia and the Ukraine. Blythswood Care Shoebox website also has an online prayer diary, and this is an extract from it. It's for the 31st of August. Praise God that for over 50 years, Blythswood Care have seen many answers to prayer and thousands of lives transformed. Join with us as we give thanks to our Father God for supporters like you who pray, donate and volunteer. Dorothy Herschel finishes by saying, "We hope that you will continue to support this extremely worthwhile outreach for God's wider world." And there's a letter from Mary Munn. "Dear friends, I should like to thank you all for the gifts, cards and good wishes I have received. Yours sincerely, Mary Munn."
A report on this year's summer mission from Dorothy Herschel. "Whoever welcomes this little child in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. For it is the one who is least among you who is the greatest." Luke 9, verse 14. 48. Sorry, verse 48. Summer Mission 2018 was a resounding success due to the hard work and commitment of many helpers and volunteers from the three congregations. The week started with the fun day in the grounds of the High Kirk. Luckily this year the weather was kind to us and 170 children and young people were able to enjoy the many challenges and activities on offer, as well as the barbecue, refreshments and home baking. This year we were very fortunate to enlist the services of KA Leisure, who provided the activator bus and the toad about. Tracy from our local Tesco store attended the event and provided a fruit tasting stall. Tesco also supplied goodie bags for the children and some of the rolls for the barbecue. In total, we served 340 filled rolls from the barbecue to the children and adults in attendance. At times, the queue seemed to go on forever. The Kids Club this year followed the theme of Champions Challenge. This was a sporting theme and we used Scripture Union material to support this with stories and activities based on Luke's Gospel. Every morning, the team of helpers met in a huddle, which always opened with prayer before discussing each step of the day ahead to ensure that everyone was well prepared. This year, 56 children participated in the club, which was held in the High Kirk Hall. They enjoyed songs, stories, craft and a variety of challenges. Each day also included the children participating in some type of creative prayer. Many of these prayers were displayed in the hall for everyone to share. Of course, a daily highlight was lunch, which was always well received at the end of each session. We also held two youth nights in our dear church hall. 28 young people attended these evenings, which were planned and organised by the young people themselves, ably assisted by a team of 8 adults. Each night they enjoyed challenges, quizzes and games, and a short act of worship. They also chose their favourite hymns, and we were very grateful to Brian for leading the singing. Each evening they sat down together to enjoy supper and a chat. On Saturday we held Messy Church in Livingston Church Hall. We were worried that this would be poorly attended because of the Our Dear Gala, but we're delighted to serve lunch to over 60 folk, and we were very grateful to our local Lidl store for their very generous donation towards this. Everyone participated in a variety of crafts in the hall and then shared in a short act of worship in the church led by Dave. Messy Church gave us an opportunity to work and interact with the children from the mission and their families. The mission finished with a prayer walk which started at St John's, stopped at the Cross and Livingston and finished with afternoon tea at Our Dear. On this occasion the weather was not so kind to us, but despite the heavy rain, The enthusiasm and singing of the group of around 50 people was not dampened. Many hardy souls completed the route on foot, while many others used the drier option of travelling by car. No matter how they travelled, everyone participated in the short acts of worship at each place and enjoyed the very welcome afternoon tea at the end. During the tea, a slideshow of the photographs taken throughout the week was shown and some of the children's work displayed to give everyone a flavour of this year's summer mission. The summer mission plays a huge part in outreach and support to families within our parish and the town. The three churches split the cost of this equally, and each year it is quite a financial commitment. This year we managed to engage the support of our local Tesco and Lidl stores, and we're extremely grateful for their very generous donation of food. It was a pleasure to work with the children and young people who were a credit to their families. Special thanks are due to the team from Livingston who helped with all the various events. This outreach would not be possible without all the helpers from our three churches. This joint working initiative, developed over many years, provides strong interchurch links and allows us to work in harmony, sharing the tasks and working in fellowship, friendship and faith. We hope and pray that the seeds we have sown in these young lives will gather harvest in the future. P.S. The planning group have already met to evaluate all of the activities and events in preparation for next year. Building on the success of the two youth nights, we would like to consult with the young people to explore the possibility of developing and expanding these meetings throughout the year ahead.
And now some information from Louisa Chisholm. It's a one-way UK training day that Louisa went to on the 30th of June. On the above date, I went to the High Kirk Halls to learn about puppet ministry. Throughout the day, I learned how to do solo puppets and also puppet manipulation using arm rods. It was tricky at first, but eventually I got the hang of it. The couple who are running the puppet ministry have done it successfully for over 20 years and have seen great results and feedback, as the puppets leave lasting memories. Not only did I learn how to use a puppet, but also had the opportunity to purchase puppets, which I duly did. Our new session of the Jam Club starts again in September, and I am going to incorporate some puppet ministry into my syllabus, with hopefully good results. The children are very keen too, so we anticipate that this will be a new chapter in the Jam Club. Unfortunately, our numbers are in decline, but I am full of ideas. We just need some young people to help me. We now have a letter from Alistair Dodds, the scout leader for the group who meet in our church, and it's entitled Explorer Scouts at Candersteg. On the 13th of July this summer, Scouts and Explorer Scouts from the three towns partnered up with Scouts and Explorer Scouts from Denniston and Glasgow to spend 10 days at the Candersteg International Scout Centre in Switzerland. They took part in many adventurous activities, including glacier climbing, canyoning, whitewater rafting, hiking, climbing, dry toboggan run, swimming in a glaciated lake, and ziplining. They met up with up to 900 scouts from all over the world and took part in an international night where they experienced activities from the countries of the scouts visiting the centre, an international campfire, and other international scouting events. On the international night, the scouts gave the other countries a taste of Scotland with haggis, oatcake, tablet and macaroon bars. They also gave out tartan ribbons and exchanged badges with the others. The weather was very kind except for one night when they were bombarded with giant hailstones during a freak thunderstorm. The scouts had a great time and are already looking forward to returning there in the near future. Thanks go to the leaders, particularly George Lynch, for organising this successful event.
Our friend John Wilson from the High Kirk has submitted this report on the Summer Mission Youth Nights. This year, our Youth Nights were planned and organised by our youth team. We decided to carry on the sports theme from Champions Challenge. At the first Youth Night, we headed over to the park and started with relay races. We all got to try the javelin, shot put, discus and the welly throw. We made our way back to the halls for food and then our God slot. We were very glad to have Brian Murray there to deliver our message. The second youth night took on a challenge theme and then a music theme. We started the night with various challenges, including making a chair out of balloons and making musical instruments out of recyclable rubbish. The teams then had a chance to perform with their newly created instruments to Soul Bossa Nova, or as it's better known, the Austin Powers theme song. Everyone had fun doing this, including the young leaders, who made their own didgeridoo from old Pringles tubes. We then had, perhaps some of the young leaders' favourite parts, pizza and lots of it. We finished our final youth night with singing led by Brian Murray. We sang modern worship songs, including My Lighthouse, 10,000 Reasons, and How Great Thou Art, Elvis style. We were again very thankful to Brian for leading this. With over 20 young people at each night, our youth nights were a success. We announced that we planned to hold regular youth nights throughout the year instead of only two nights every year. Planning is already underway and everyone at the youth nights seems excited about this idea.
Now some information about the new session for the organisations. The guides have their first meeting on Wednesday, August the 29th from 7 o'clock till 9 o'clock. The Rainbows have their opening meeting on Tuesday the 6th of September from 6 o'clock till 7 o'clock. The Brownies will also begin on Thursday the 6th of September from 6 till 7.30. The Jam Club will commence on Sunday the 2nd of September at 10 a.m. The Guild begins its new session on Tuesday the 11th of September at 1.30. The Badminton Club will recommence on Tuesday the 4th of September at 8 o'clock. And the Livingston Players will commence their rehearsals for the Christmas pantomime with the junior cast on Sunday the 26th of August at 1.30 and the adult cast on Monday the 27th at 7.30. And a fabric report from the Fabric Committee. Flooring the North Transept. The movement of floorboards mentioned in the previous report was not as serious as feared and was remedied by the securing of support brackets to the floor joists. Loose cornicing in the ceiling of the south transept. This has resulted in surveys of the church roof and loft. Estimates are being obtained for the replacing of missing slates in the roof and for the treatment of wet rot and woodworm activity in some of the wooden beams in the loft. Heating system in the church and halls. These have been serviced and surveyed. While now operating satisfactorily, the low efficiency of the church boilers has been referred to the Kirk Session for consideration. Stonework at the front door of the church. Resulting from the fall of some small pieces of masonry at the front door, it has been decided to have a thorough survey of the frontage carried out. The church bell and the armistice. Marking the centenary of the armistice Marking the centenary of the armistice in November 2018, Scottish composer Martin Suckling is composing a ringing soundscape as part of a new commission for the Scottish Chamber Orchestra, the SCO, and has asked for the ringing and recording of Scotland's church bells. This will form a live electronic tapestry of sound surrounding the audience when the new piece of music called Meditation is premiered by the SCO. Arthur, in the belfry, and Ross below with his mobile phone, have answered the composer's call, and we look forward to hearing the outcome.
The Church Diary for September, October and November. 2nd of September. The Sacrament of the Lord's Table at 10 a.m. in Livingston and 11.30 a.m. in Ardeer. And then at 7.30 p.m. evening worship, including the Ministry of Healing in Livingston Church. 9th of September. Regular worship, 10 a.m. in Livingston and 11.30 in Ardeer, where there is the Sacrament of Baptism. 16th of September. Worship led by Mr. Douglas Crichton at both churches. 19th of September. Songs of Praise at Thistle Daycare Centre at 2 p.m. 23rd of September. Harvest Thanksgiving Services, 10 a.m. and 11.30 a.m. 30th of September, Shared Worship at 10.30 a.m. in Livingston Church. 7th of October, 10 a.m. and 11.30 a.m. at Livingston and Ardeer, respectively. 14th of October, 10 a.m. and 11.30 a.m. at Livingston and Ardeer, respectively. 21st of October, 10 a.m. and 11:30 a.m. at Livingston Church and Ardeer, respectively. The Reformation Conference, Thursday, the 25th of October, 2 p.m. and 7:30 p.m. The Reverend Alistair Purse on Discipleship, and that's in Ardeer. Friday the 26th of October, 2 p.m. and 7:30 p.m. The Reverend Kenny Borthwick on Leadership and Ministry in Livingston Church. Saturday the 27th of October, 10:30 a.m. and 7:30 p.m. The Reverend Dr. Rob Barlow on Mission, and that's in Ardeer. Sunday the 28th of October, 10:30 a.m. Shared Worship at Ardeer Church. 12:30 p.m. lunch in the Highkirk Halls with closing worship. 4th of November, 10 a.m. Livingston Church and 11:30 a.m. Ardeer Church, and then 3 p.m. in Bonnie Leslie Court. Sunday the 11th of November, it's the 100th anniversary of Armistice. 10:45 a.m. shared worship at Livingston Church, and 1:30 p.m. worship at the War Memorial. Sunday the 18th of November, Guild Dedication Services, 10 a.m. in Livingston and 11:30 a.m. in Ardeer. And on the 25th of November, 10 a.m. in Livingston and 11:30 a.m. in Ardeer.